नारायणा नमस्कृत्या नरों चैवं नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीभ्यासं ततो जयं गुदीरयत् नश्च प्रयिषु अपादेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवाय भावत उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय हरे कृष्ण Good morning, dear devotees. We accept our humble obeisances. All glory to Srila Prabhupada. This morning's class is taken from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 16, and Text 4. Nijagrao jasavira kalem digvijaye kwachit Nepalingadaram Shudram Natam Go Vatunam Padam Nijagra Hauja Savira Kalim Digvijaye Quachit Nepalingadaram Shudram Natam Go Vatunam Padam Nijagra Hauja Savira Kalim digvijaye kwachit Nepalingadaram shudram Natango matinam padam Hare Krishna. Okay, word for word. Translation. Nijagraha, sufficiently punished. Ojasa, by prowess. Vira, valiant hero. Kalim unto Kali, the master of the age. Digvijaye, on his way to conquer the world. Kwachit, once upon a time. Nripalingadaram, one who passes in the dress of a king. Shudram, the lower class. Nantam, hurting. Gomitunam, a cow and bull. Pada, on the leg. Translation by Sivan Gurdjieff Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Once, when Maharaj Parikshit was on his way to conquer the world, he saw the master of Kali Yuga, who was lower than a Shudra, disguised as a king, and herding the legs of a cow and bull. The king at once caught hold of him to deal sufficient punishment. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The purpose of a king's going out to conquer the world is not for self-aggrandizement. Maharaj Parikshit went out to conquer the world after his ascendance to the throne, but this was not for the purpose of aggression on other states. He was the emperor of the world, and all small states were already under his regime. His purpose in going out was to see how things were going in terms of the godly state. The king, being a representative of the Lord, has to execute the will of the Lord duly. There is no question of self-aggrandizement. Thus, as soon as Maharaj Parikshit saw that a lower class man in the dress of a king was herding the legs of a cow and a bull, he arrested and punished him. The king cannot tolerate insults to the most important animal, the cow, nor can he tolerate disrespect for the most important man, the Brahmana. Human civilization needs to advance the cause of Brahminical culture, and to maintain it, cow protection is essential. There is a miracle in milk, for it contains all the necessary vitamins to sustain human physiological conditions for higher achievements. Brahminical culture can advance only when man is educated to develop the quality of goodness, and for this there is a prime necessity of food prepared with milk, fruits, and grains. Maharaj Parikshit was astonished to see that a black Shudra dressed like a ruler was mistreating a cow, the most important animal in human society. The age of Kali means mismanagement and quarrel. And the root cause of all mismanagement and quarrel is that worthless men with the modes of lower class men who have no higher ambition in life come to the helm of the state management. Such men at the post of a king are sure to first hurt the cow and the Brahminical culture, thereby pushing all society towards hell. Maharaj Parikshit, trained as he was, got a scent of this root cause of all quarrel in this world. Thus he wanted to stop it in the very beginning. Om Agnati Virandasya Gyana Gyana Shivakaya Chakshu Umbalitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shichitani Manovistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadatikam Vandeham Shri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavam Shicha Shri Rupa Sagajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Pada Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Vitam Shicha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishabhanu Sute Devi Paramani Hari Priya Vancha Kalpataru Vyascha Kripa Sunibhya Eva Cha Patitana Pavanevyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Shiva Shari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namini Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharini Nirvishesha Sunnivari Prasthatya Adishitani Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayati Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namni Gora Chishere Maha Ananda Lila Maya Vigrahaya Imavya Divya Chavishundrayaya Dasmi Maha Prema Raspadaya Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Hare Krishna. So, the translation is that once Maharaj Parikshit was on his way to conquer the world, he saw the master of Kali Yuga, who was lower than a Shudra, disguised as a king, and hurting the legs of a cow and bull. The king at once caught hold of him to deal sufficient punishment. Hare Krishna. So, this particular text starts the story of Maharaj Parikshit. He's the ruler now, or the emperor, and as Srila Prabhupada explains in the purport, he's not ruling and doing things for self-aggrandizement, to praise himself. This is also the quality of a devotee. All devotees should not do things for self-aggrandizement. Never. It is not important. We don't own anything here. We weren't born with anything. We cannot leave anything. We cannot take anything with us when we die. Yet we want a big reputation, a big name. It's not important. If we're going to go back to the spiritual world, why do we want a big name just to go be servant and servant and servant and servant of Krishna's devotees? Servant and servant and servant. Srila Prabhupada says 1,000 times servant. Down. So a person that's 1,000 times servant does not want aggrandizement, self-aggrandizement in the spiritual world. And the spiritual world is the real place. So now, if we don't want self-aggrandizement there, why should we want self-aggrandizement here in this place. And then add to it, in Kali Yuga, the more you become popular, the more unsafe your life is. People come after you. There's one popular guitarist and composer, white-bodied, British, and he came to New York and lived there with his wife for a while, and the place that he lived, they were quite well-to-do. The people there were well-to-do. He was already a millionaire. And so he thought that, yeah, he's among people who are wealthy and they just can be himself. So yeah, he was living like that, going out for walks and coming back in. Then somebody traveled all the way from Hawaii to New York and shot and killed him because he had no protection. This is John Lennon, Beatles. Like that. Just took his life so that he would become the popular person as the one who actually took the poor guy's life. So it's not worth it for self-aggrandizement in this material world. This material world is temporary and also full of suffering. As it says in the scriptures. So we're not looking to make a big name for ourselves. If by service as a devotee, loving service to devotees, loving service to Guru, and loving service to Krishna, our name gets spread within the devotee community, that's all right. It's not like we should look to have our name spread in the devotee community. No, that is not necessary. So, Maharaj Parikshit saw that there was this particular personality, lower than a Shudra, in terms of mentality and how he behaves, and is disguised as a king. Disguised. So that people would respect him and be able to get through society. But now hurting the legs of a cow and a bull. And the four pillars of religiosity. Austerity, cleanliness. Austerity is already gone. Cleanliness is gone. People are not merciful. That's gone. And truth is being challenged now. Politicians these days, Kali Yuga politicians, telling the truth is, I wouldn't say rare necessarily, but a good many of them don't care to tell the truth. They just make a statement to get what they want. And the people, at least some people have gotten wind of it, and some people still are deceived by trusting these people. So Kali Yuga is just going on and on and on and on. Maharaj Parikshit saw this particular Shudra, the master of Kali Yuga, hurting the legs of a cow and bull. And so as a dutiful king, he began to deal punishment to him. And Srila Prabhupada says the purport, Maharaj Parikshit's purpose of going out was to see how things were going in terms of the godly state. He wanted to find out whether people were being godly in their activities, in their day-to-day activities. It is very important for a king to make sure that the people, even in Vanashram Dham, are moving towards the path back to Godhead. That is what a king's duty is supposed to be. Whether it's Shudra, Vaishya, Kshatriya, Brahman, Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanapras, Sannyas, whoever, they should be moving towards purifying one's life so that they can go back to Godhead. This place will never, this material world will never make anybody happy. As it says in the scripture from Brahmaloka, the highest heavenly planet, to Pataloka, the lowest hellish planet. All are places of misery. They are places of misery because the pain of birth is there, the pain of death is there, the pain of disease is there, and the pain of old age. That's also there, in varying quantities in the different planets. It does not matter that there's more sense gratification in the heavenly planet. Once you're in jail, you're in jail. The best thing is to get out of the jail. And that Srila Prabhupada has not only taught us how, but given us mercy by giving us breaks in certain places that he knew we wouldn't do so strongly there. As a matter of fact, in forming ISKCON and making devotees from the West, he was criticized. He was criticized, and as Chandramali Swami explains, he responded to those who criticized him. He said for the quest for the purpose of preaching, he had to do some things differently. He took certain chances. There's a video, a recording that I heard myself, and then Chandramali Swami also talked about. He said, in India, he was in India alone, there were some things that he would not have done if he hadn't come to the West. He would not have done. And so I took certain chances, he said, when I was in the West. And then, I don't know, because I was listening to an audio, I don't know which one of his disciples talked after that. But as soon as Srila Prabhupada made that statement, that disciple, he sounds like Pradyumna in terms of the sound, his voice. He says, but the preaching necessitated that Srila Prabhupada said, yes! He didn't even let him finish. Meaning is, he said, yes! So, for the spiritual master to show that kind of mercy, we are extremely fortunate. Somehow, in the back of my mind, I never forget that a Vaishnava was supposed to chant 64 rounds. Whether I do it or not, that's another thing. But the thing is, we're supposed to chant 64 rounds. And if we do 16 and some more rounds after 16, but not at 64, we have to understand that it is by the mercy of the spiritual master, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, that we are going on. But actually, a Vaishnava is supposed to chant 64 rounds. So we're very fortunate that through the will of the pure devotee, and Krishna sanctions the pure devotee who has good intention of bringing people, human beings, souls and human beings who will take the Krishna consciousness back home. For Krishna to agree that we would chant 16 rounds after Srila Prabhupada put that out shows extreme mercy that's there. And so we need to take advantage of it. Many of his lectures, Srila Prabhupada says, once you take advantage of it, the opportunity is there, once you take advantage of it. Just like a sale. There is a sale, but it's for a period of time. It doesn't go on forever. So after a while, we will go back to the original price. And then, those who can afford it, maybe, but then some people will be cut out because they won't be able to afford it. So this is a time to take advantage of a situation by how we act. Srila Prabhupada explains in the purport that the king is a representative of the Lord. That's the duty of a king. His position is a representative of the Lord. Just like Guru is a representative of Krishna, he has to execute the will of Krishna. That's all. So the king also has to see himself as a servant. Not only of the people, a servant of the Lord and a mediator between the Lord and the people. Make sure that the people are being directed towards the Lord. The king cannot tolerate insults to two personalities in society. The cow and the Brahman. The cow and the Brahman. The cow supports us and the Brahman gives us the culture by which we can be Krishna conscious. Brahminical culture is important. And part of it is, in Brahminical life, is to be very, very clean inside and out. So in the morning, we clean externally, take a bath, and inside, the internal cleansing is by chanting and hearing. So, Brahminical life means, Srila Prabhupada is explaining, you have to bathe 3 times daily. If not possible, at least 2 times. But certainly, don't go Less than once. Less than once means zero. Not leading at all. And also, we pass, and then we take the bath. So, in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 18, text 42, the Brahmana's qualities are listed. Shamo damas tapasucham shantir ajavam evacha. Jnanam vijnanam astikyam brahma karma svabhavajam. Peacefulness, self-control, austerity, purity, tolerance, honesty, wisdom, knowledge, and religiousness. Those are the qualities by which the Brahmanas work. Now, when we talk about Brahmana, we relate it to a Vaishnava later, but since now we talked about the qualities, a Brahmana should be peaceful. In other words, a Brahmana shouldn't go ruffling the feathers of others. It should be calm. Now, in some situations, we see ourselves faced with a disturbing situation. I remember when I was in Giranagri, there was one particular devotee. I won't even name the gender, whether it's a Mataji or because he was quite popular. Anyway, so some of us living there had issues about this particular devotee. And I, for one, I know I went to my spiritual master, Bhakti Theta Maharaj, at the time. We were learning how to be a devotee. And I was quite disturbed. And after he listened to me, all my complaints, he said, use it for your growth. Use it for your growth. And interestingly enough, it was only yesterday that the same statement was made in our Sunday lecture by another devotee in a different way. He says, when somebody is a problem, at least you see there was a problem to you, some things they're doing is not good, we should see that person as Krishna having brought that person into our life space with those negative attributes or qualities to see how we will react to that person, to see how we will react to that person. The first thing we have to know is the soul is there in the heart of that person, the super soul is there in the heart of that person. This is Krishna's part and parcel in front of you. Yes, that person may have some issues, or it may be just we having issues that are different, or we disagree. That also can bring up an issue. How do we deal with that particular devotee? Sometimes a suggestion has been made, serve that devotee. Service to that devotee, if we put our ego aside and do that, will help to improve the relationship between us and that devotee. If you offer them service, the relationship will get better, and then we won't have to think so negatively. Sometimes we don't act in saying things, but then our minds are going so much. Sometimes to the extent that even when we're chanting and the mind strays to that particular situation, and we're trying to chant and then there's this disturbance in the mind because there's somebody we're uncomfortable with. That hurts our own quality of chanting. Because in the 10th of the 10 offenses, the last one, after which says, to maintain material attachments, to not have complete faith, all of that is an offense. There's also, it says, it is also an offense to be inattentive while chanting. It is also an offense to be inattentive while chanting. And these days, I make it a point personally that before I begin chanting, I do that particular one. It is also an offense to be inattentive while chanting. So don't tell them, like, you have to be attentive. Otherwise, you're committing offenses. Otherwise, the quality of your chanting is not going to be good. And chanting is the yuga dharma that takes us back to the spiritual world. The quality has to be excellent. Not just good, it has to be excellent. We have to focus. And so, when a person is having situations with us that makes us disturbed, we have to see how we can remain equipoised and balanced and not behave badly towards that person. and not behave badly towards that person. We are always being looked at and checked in our qualities. That is a biblical quality. As we said earlier, peacefulness. That's how you bring peacefulness and self-control. It's all in there. Austerity and purity. Austerity, when we get up early in the morning, and even against what our body is saying, we get ourselves ready, we pick our beat bags and start chanting. Depending on what our bodies are saying in terms of sense gratification, we fight that and stay within the regulated principles, abiding by the four regulated principles. So that would cause, one, the big advantage, purity, because purity of mind comes that way. Tolerance connects to the same thing that we were talking about earlier. When people challenge you, to what extent are we willing to tolerate? Honesty, which is very, 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 very slowly, I mean, in Kali Yuga, it's getting down in terms of people taking that seriously. People are thinking, oh, well, if I say whatever I want to get, I want to say because it's something I want to get, and whatever words get me there, whether they're true or not, I'll just say it because it's something that I'm looking for. Well, that's somebody working in the mode of passion and ignorance. Untruth is ignorance. And passion means that they want something for sense gratification. They're going after it. So a person who is dishonest is in the mode of passion and ignorance, both. Wisdom comes from reading and hearing lectures. Wisdom comes from hearing from the bona fide spiritual master and from those who have heard from him who are sharing the knowledge, and of course from the scriptures, especially the ones written and explained by Srila Prabhupada. So we know, we study that, we make it a part of our lives, and then the realization will come, especially if our chanting is strong. When our chanting is strong, so many other things fall into place. When we say strong, means that we are focusing. And keep remember, it is also an offense being attentive while chanting. And I know we said it like, you know, learned it for the last 20 years of getting arguments that blasphemy devotees who dedicated their lives to on and on and on and on. First one, second one, consider the names of demigods, Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, to be equal to the holy name of Lord Vishnu. Third, the base spiritual master, to orders, fourth, blasting Vedic literature. So we just memorize this, and we say this before we start chanting. And now I've gone full circle too. It is also an offense to be inattentive while chanting. When our devotion is weak, it's because there's offenses. But you say, but I don't offend anybody. I don't say bad things to anybody. So how is my devotion weak? It is also an offense to be inattentive while chanting. That's where the problem is. I'm speaking to myself. That's where the problem is. Because if we don't offend anybody, then how come our devotional life is not so exciting? It's supposed to be exciting and enthusiastic. It is also an offense to be inattentive while chanting. That's what's killing me. And if you're like me, then that's what's killing you also. So now I'm saying that when my subconscious is ringing, the mantra is coming out, subconscious is ringing, it is offense to be inattentive while chanting. Pay attention the whole way. And as far as doing that, His Holiness Guru Govinda Maharaj gives us one instruction. He says, pronounce the words distinctly. Pronounce the words distinctly. Not only just pronounce, but he says you have to move your lips. You have to feel your lips move. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Make your lips move. Because if your lips move, the words will be distinct. There's no question about it. Only when you have your lips stained once and then you roll your tongue, then you can Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Krishna. But as soon as the lips start pressing together, the words will come out. They will come out distinctly. And now you can pay attention to it, and then you speak it, and you can hear it. Then you're on your way to chanting with attention. So that's my mantra now. Number 10, it is also an offense to be attentive while chanting. You have to remember that. And for that, then we will get there. So this is part of our duties as Vaishnavas, and Vaishnavas are automatically Brahmanical, because that is said here. A scholarly Brahmana, expert in all subjects of Vedic knowledge. A scholarly Brahmana is unfit to become a spiritual master without being a Vaishnava first. You have to be a follower of Lord Vishnu, or expert in the science of Krishna consciousness. So, even a Brahmana with these qualities as we listed earlier, austerity, purity, tolerance, honesty, wisdom, so on, but they have to be a follower of Lord Vishnu. They have to be a Vaishnava to become a spiritual master. But a person born in a family of a lower caste can become spiritual master if he's gotten the mercy of a devotee and become a Vaishnava, or they become Krishna conscious. This is from the Padma Purana. So yes, there is a difference between Brahman and Vaishnava, but Vaishnava has all Brahminical qualities, or at least we're supposed to practice. So, when a person from Bhagavad Gita, chapter 2, text 52, Srila Prabhupada explained the purport, when a person factually understands Krishna and his relationship with Krishna, then he naturally becomes completely indifferent to fruitive activities and the rituals connected with that, even though he may be an experienced Brahmana. See, Brahmanas do a lot of these rituals. Some of them to Agni, some of them to different demigods for different purposes. But when a person begins to understand Krishna, who Krishna is, Krishna Sri Bhagavan Swayam, all of the incarnations and parts, I mean the expansions and expansions from the expansions, all of that are in the Supreme Personality of God. He's the original. And our relationship is servant of a servant of a servant. We are by nature parts and parcels, but infinitesimal parts and parcels of Krishna. So, with that, Madhavendra Puri, who was a great devotee and acharya in our line of devotees, said, but I'll read the Sanskrit first, I'll quote from him, Sandhya Vandana Bhadram Astu Bhavato Bho Snana Tubhyam Namo Bho Deva Pitarascha Tarpana Vidau Naham Shama Shamyatam Yatra Kwapi Nishadya Yadava Kulotam Sasya Kansa Dvisha Smaram Smaram Agam Harami Tad Alam Manye Kim Anye Name. And he got quite poetic with this. We've heard the Sanskrit, but if you hear the English translation, it's very, very interesting. He says, all my prayers, three times a day, all glory to you. So he starts praising the prayers. And there's a reason he's getting. You remember what we're supposed to do? Dayan Stivam Stasya Yashasri Sandhyam. It is the third line of Sri Guru Astaka, which is Samsara Dava Nalali Daluk in the morning. Yeah. So Yashat Pashadam Bhagavat Pashad, Yashat Pashadam Nagati Kutupi, Dayan Stivam Stasya Yashasri Sandhyam. And Srila Prabhupada lectured the other day, says, Yashas, the word says, three sandhyam, he says, yes, I must bow to the spiritual master three times a day. Three sandhyam. So that's where it says, you pray to the spiritual master by offering obeisances three times a day. So then, Madhavendra Puri is saying, all my prayers three times a day, all glory to you. And then he says, all bathing, I offer my obeisances unto you. This is very deep and very poetic. Because the reason he's getting all of this, especially towards the end, so it builds up. All my prayers three times a day, all glory to you. All bathing, I offer my obeisances unto you, because these are the things that make me Brahminical. So it is good, therefore all glories to you. Now, then he starts, O demigods, O forefathers, please excuse me for my inability to offer you my respects. He's going with this now? Now, wherever I sit, I can remember the great descendant of a Yadu dynasty, Krishna, the enemy of Kansa, and thereby I can free myself from all sinful bondage. I think this is sufficient for me. A beautiful way that he's talked about this statement. We all do this. Dayanstavam yasya shastri sang, tasya yasya shastri sangyam. So we're supposed to pray 3 times a day to the spiritual master. To all glory to you. We have to base. I offer my obeisances to you. Then we have to not do puja to demigods or forefathers. So from that, Madhavendra Puri says, please excuse me for my inability to offer that to you. But now wherever I sit, I can remember Vishnu Smaranam, Krishna, the great descendant of the Yadu dynasty and the enemy of Kamsa. And by remembering Krishna, just like Rupa Goswami says we should do, I can free myself from all sinful bondage. Krishna says, Sarva Dharma Parityajam Maam Ekam Sharanam Vaja. Abandon everything else you do and just surrender to me, and I will free you from all sinful reactions. Just like Madhavendra Puri, just remembering him, I can free myself from all sinful bondage. I think this is sufficient for me. Well, he's right. It is definitely sufficient for everybody that thinks that way. So here is a Vaishnava. It's a great Brahmana. A Vaishnava. Brahmana in quality and Vaishnava because he's a follower of Lord Vishnu or Lord Krishna. So the king, Maharaj Parikshit, is important these days, especially no matter what other people are doing. Brahman has to be protected. The cow has to be protected. So, as far as the cow and the bull, for that matter, we take them together, there is so much that's been done and put together in terms of facts about the importance of the bull and the cow. Yet, unfortunately, people advertise cow flesh, beef, and people are taken by the advertisements and they go to the fast food places or they buy from the stores. Yet, from the higher taste, much research has been reported in there. And first, a few points we want to talk about. Eating begins with the hands and mouth. Since that is started that way, eating with the hands and mouth for human beings, what can the anatomy of these bodily parts tell us? First, human teeth, just like those of the creatures that also eat grass and vegetables, they are designed for grinding and chewing vegetable matter. That's design. Humans, we lack that sharp front teeth, which is called the canine, for tearing flesh, which is characteristic of carnivores. And meat-eating animals, they don't chew much of their food. They just swallow. Therefore, they don't have the molars, the teeth in the back, capable of moving even sideways. You see some of the goats and cows and horses. They can even move their teeth sideways to grind. It's all the grinding effect. And we have the flat part of the top, the molars in the back. For that reason, the human hand has no sharp claws. So it's better suited to harvesting fruits and vegetables than killing prey. And when it comes to digestion of the meat, once the stomach, the meat arrives in the stomach for the species that eat meat naturally, there is what's called gastric juice or hydrochloric acid in chemistry that helps to break down what's come into the stomach. So the stomach of humans and herbivores, those that eat vegetables, they produce this hydrochloric acid, which is 20 times more dilute than those found in those animals that eat flesh. Which means, or the other way of putting it, that the hydrochloric acid in those in the stomachs of the animals that eat flesh is 20 times more concentrated than the ones here. What is in our stomach is to help our stomach, humans, is to just help break down. Very little breakdown. Very little breakdown. I shouldn't say breakdown. Actually, it helps to kill the germs. The few germs that's there, yes, that low concentration of hydrochloric acid can deal with that. Now, it's at the breakdown as for those ones that have the natural setup to eat meat. Their acid is able to break down because it's that concentrated. And not only that, when it comes to the intestines, they have shorter intestine tract so that what is eaten comes out quickly. Because a piece of meat is part of a corpse, and all we know what happens to corpses, they go bad, putrefaction takes place. And that means poisonous wastes within the body are created of that corpse. Therefore, meat must be quickly eliminated. So carnivores, they possess that alimentary canal only 3 times the length of their bodies. But men, we don't eat flesh. The alimentary canal is 12 times our body length. So it's much, much, much longer, especially the small intestine area. And that's where it takes a long time for the decaying flesh. If we eat meat, decaying flesh is restrained in there for a long, it's retained for a long time, and all kinds of undesirable toxic effects are produced while that meat is undergoing the breakdown, is becoming bad, putrefaction as it's called. And of course, then it affects our kidneys because all of these toxins are produced and our kidney has now worked overtime. So this is a little bit of the inside science part that they know about meat eaters and vegetarians. We are supposed to be vegetarians. And even from one situation that I myself found out going to hospital, this was in connection with colonoscopy. Instead of when you get to a certain age, you have to do colonoscopy. So, interestingly enough, the day that I went, there was a devotee, also part of the medical staff, and found out that I was a devotee. So before we started, we got to talk all kinds of pastimes from Krishna and Vishnu. It was very interesting. The nurses didn't understand, but, you know, this man kept on talking so many things. And then, after the test was over, they said, "You don't have any problems." And then they made one statement. "Vegetarians, we found out, usually pass this test easily." They made that statement to me. Vegetarians, they made that, usually pass this test. On the other hand, my sister is a meat eater. She's had the same test, and there were some problems. She told me later on she really suffered because of those problems, because they had to deal with it. And there's so some pain in that area that he had to deal with. So again, this supports the fact that we are not meat eaters. We're not supposed to be meat eaters. And even more and more, the first half, by the way, of Higher Taste, the first half of the book, talks about all of these that really, really, really make the point that we are better off economically and physically for the cow to be alive than dead. Than dead. So much that we gain. So, moderate meat eaters, and let's start behind that too, even their kidneys do 3 times more work to clean toxins than the kidneys of vegetarians. So the kidneys last longer for vegetarians in terms of over the lifespan of a person. So these are, and I know most of you listening, you don't eat meat, but these are all ammunitions to be able to tell somebody else who thinks that meat is important how, in fact, toxic it is to take meat. So the cow, who is very, very helpful to us, even the waste, cow dung can be used as fuel, cow urine is medicinal, and then the cow milk, the blood that can change to milk, it's already talked about in the purport. to help us with the finer tissues. Sri Prabhupada says there's a miracle in milk. It contains all the necessary vitamins for sustaining human conditions and also for higher achievements. It helps actually for us to be sharper with our brains. So there's so much that's there. And eventually, we're hoping that more and more of cow, not only cow protection, but in ISKCON, that we get more and more cow milk from our farms, which means you have to advance that. There's actually some plans there, even all in Mayapur, there are some devotees talking about bringing more of a, that type of lifestyle, especially where the cow is taken care of and the cow is given opportunity for us to milk and therefore get real cow's milk that's not contaminated by any kind of toxins the way these big businesses are doing, and then they later on even killing the cows themselves. So yes, we have a long way to go, but that's in every society. It grows, and even countries grow also. So yes, it is in fact a good time to begin to consider not only protection of cow, we have that in ISKCON, but to have our farm communities increase in number. There have been times where more farm communities and they went down, but we learned our lessons from it, and hopefully we are still learning our lessons so that we will, in fact, maintain Brahminical culture, which is important for peace in the world, and also help people understand the importance of protecting the cow. Very, 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 very important. So, Maharaj Parikshit is on the case, as we say in America, it's on the case, trying to make sure everything is going on well in his empire. And he saw that a person who is of low mentality had dressed himself like a king, and he's beating the cow and the bull, and of course he exacted punishment. Srila Prabhupada, the last day of punishment, says, Srila Prabhupada actually said in one lecture I heard that Maharaj Parikshit was enforcing the four regulated principles. He was enforcing the four regulated principles in his kingdom. The four regulated principles that we vow to when we take initiation, he was enforcing that. So you can imagine how clean and how very much on top of spiritual life, or at least good religious life, that the citizens at the time Maharaj Parikshit was ruling, the citizens were. He would actually punish you for disobeying any of the regulated principles. And some of them quite seriously punish you. He would not allow meat eating. He would not. He would literally take your life. This is what Srila Prabhupada said. He's eating meat, kill him. This is how he actually put it. So that time will come when we are free from all kinds of demonic technological activity, and then the mortal goodness life will come again. That time will come. But right now, we have to chant the holy name of the Lord to purify this unfortunate world that we're in. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. The stoka that's what the, Brahmins? Okay, I think I said two things. There was one purport from Bhagavad Gita, second chapter, text 52. Yeah, and that was what part that I was talking about, Madhavendra Puri. When a person factually understands Krishna and his relationship with Krishna, then he doesn't care too much about rituals, even though he's an experienced Brahmana.
Okay.
Now, as far as the qualities of Brahminical culture go, that's from Bhagavad Gita chapter 18, text 42. 1842, where it's the peacefulness, self-control, austerity, purity, tolerance. Peacefulness, self-control, austerity, purity. Yeah. The intolerance. Then honesty. Oh, the four legs that were being challenged, the legs were the austerity, cleanliness, mercy, and truthfulness. Those are the four legs, four pillars of religious society. Yeah. Austerity, cleanliness, mercy, or mercifulness. Truthfulness is, yes, and truthfulness is, Go ahead, please. Tell me. Hare Krishna. Any other comments? Krishna's mercy. Hare Krishna. Thank you. Guru and Gauranga. Hare Krishna. Well, but the campaign today is that we should still remember when we chant, because the chanting is the purifying, to pay attention when you're chanting. But I kept stressing it is also an offense to be inattentive while chanting, also an offense to be inattentive while chanting. So many things fall in place. See, as it says, Pakitukiya manani gunai karmani sarvasya ahankara vimudatma kataham iti manyate. A person that doesn't know which is what, now what is what, thinks that they're the ones performing things, but it's actually formed through the three modes of material nature. So activities are through the three modes of material nature, but who controls the three modes of material nature? Krishna, ultimately, to Lord Vishnu. So when we call his name and we call with attention, then things begin to fall into place. And I've seen in my own life many, many times, I say, well, I would like to get to this point, and I try to push, and I face all kinds of difficulties when I'm trying to push. Then let go, and then go back to chanting, and then Krishna's own time, whatever it is, just, if it's good for me, it just comes. I mean, I don't want to give an example, but just only yesterday, things that have been going for months that I wanted, the money walked up to me and said, you still want it? I said, yeah, I said, sure, I'll do it for you in the summer. Just like that. I gave up. So the Lord is there. He knows what we need. And if we want to do something, especially in Krishna consciousness, he'll open the door. But we have to be prepared to wait for his time. So the patience part is very important. His time. In the same day, more things also came. Another devotee, I read the Kirtan, and he made some comments also about singing and so on. That's just, I mean, all of these things, I'm just like laid back. When I said, I don't know, I'll just say it the best that I can. But now Krishna is just hinting here, hinting there. But in his own time, though, his own time. And all my motto is, it is also an offense to be inattentive while chanting. It's much my advertisement now to myself. Keep the chanting straight and more focused. Anyone that gives you a problem, you think is giving you a problem, has actually been put in your space for Krishna to teach you how to tolerate. To, in other words, don't get mad at anybody. You may not understand some things, but getting angry and saying negative things or speaking negative things, or even worse, spreading negative things, that you're going to have to pay for. All you do is just add to your negative bank account, it's going to go against you. And now if you really, really want to go back to Godhead, then those things have to be dealt with. Now Krishna is going to have to give you some sort of token punishment. And believe me, token is an understatement. When you go into punishment, it doesn't matter how much token is, you really feel it. You will really feel it. So it's if you don't want problems with your own self, don't cause problems for other people. It's easy, just like that. Don't cause problems for other people. So be patient, be tolerant, and I keep asking the Lord when you don't understand, what's in this for me to learn? What's in this for me to learn? My spiritual master challenged me quite a bit because I had been dealt with rather negatively by one particular devotee. And for a while, I was uncomfortable with that person. And one day, my spiritual master just faced me, just him and me in his room. And he lashed and lashed and lashed and lashed and said, you don't like this person. I said, no, they said, you don't like this person. Basically, you are in denial. You don't, like this person. But since Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj, he can read minds. He just had that capability before he even came to ISKCON. And it took me a while to understand that when somebody has done something that you don't like, and you keep a mantra that I don't like that person, you're the one that gets affected. You're actually the one that gets affected. The other person may have done this, but what have I done in terms of learning from it? How not to? So we were told, and I've heard this in other arenas too, when somebody does something good, they're teaching you how to follow and do the good thing. When somebody does something bad, they are teaching you what not to do. If you understand these two, what not to do, so you don't do those things that are bad, but you don't go after the person and say, oh, I hate you with this, that, thinking, keep thinking, then you pollute your own mind. So we have to learn even from situations that come, and we keep a positive attitude, then the energy around us will also be positive, and people, we will draw more positive people to us, and we wind up being very happy. Hare Krishna. So, I'm teaching my own self today. Hare Krishna. Krishna's mercy, Guru's mercy. Any more comments? Or questions? Yeah. If we react, we should be regretful. We can always pray for forgiveness too. If we react, so then the main question comes, what am I supposed to learn from this? What am I supposed to learn from? And the answer is, I don't know. Well, fine. Sometimes we don't know because all we see is the wrong thing that's been done. But the lesson will come later on. So you pray and say, whatever it is, dear Krishna, dear Guru, I don't know yet, but in your own time, please teach me what it is that I'm supposed to learn from this. So then at least you put your mind put on hold. All right, so something has happened, I don't know yet, but in Krishna's own time, it will be pointed out to me, and I will learn something from it. And sometimes we learn something from it, and other times too, we just get to know about it so that somebody else, somebody come to our space with the same problem, we say, okay, well, we handled it this way or we handled it that way. Sometimes questions get asked of us like that. Very, very simple question. One devotee was asking me the other day. I didn't even expect the question, but, you know, he opens up to me quite a bit. So then he said, this isn't something and we all can learn from it also. He asked me, he says, I think I'm eating too much. Because we were talking about the devotee eats, you don't eat too little and you don't eat too much. So he says, I really think that I'm eating too much. And I know his eating habits now, but see, so he says, I eat too much. What can be done in my case? So a few things about his personal thing we, you know, brought up because he comes to our house quite a bit. But one thing that came that Srila Prabhupada said that's good for everybody. That if you think you eat too much, drink a glass of water before you start eating. When you drink a glass of water, then part of the stomach gets actually filled. Then you don't need to put as much prasadam in there. Yeah. So that was an advice from Srila Prabhupada. Mr. Hare Krishna. But paying attention is very important though, when you're chanting. Then it will be a good quality. And it gives you a good feeling after you've done that. You chant the strong rounds in the day. It's, you know, very, very, very focused rounds. It makes a difference. Krishna says, Ye ratama papadyante tam sateva vajami aham. The extent to which we surrender to the process and do it with good quality, He will reward accordingly. So even our moods change for the better. Hare Krishna. Thank you, Krishna's mercy and Guru's mercy. Again, I'm sharing. That's all. Alright, so Vanchakalpa Turubhyascha Kripa Sunivya Evacha Patitana Pavanevyo Akshavevyo Namo Namah Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Vaishnava Thakur Ki Jai Hare Krishna. Okay. Have a good rest of the week. Hare Krishna. Okay.